So Isaiah chapter 60, we're beginning at verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, and dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves in their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me in the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favour have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. And then down to verse 19. Verse 19, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Amen. Really speaking on the subject of the glory of the Lord. Sometimes we get so bogged down in the humdrum nature of life, and even our Christianity can fail to, as it were, live up to everything that God intended for us to have. And at the center of God's relationship with his people has always been a manifestation of his glory. You go back to the end of Exodus, as God told them to construct the tabernacle, and the tabernacle went up as it was completed and finished. It says the glory of God filled the tabernacle. And you find the same thing in 2 Chronicles with the temple, don't you? And the glory of God came and filled that place. And it was always God's intention that his people should see his glory, that they would experience his glory, because that is the only thing that really satisfies us. That is the pinnacle of everything, the revelation of God. It's the character of God, not just there, not just see, not just understood, not just read about. You can read about the character of God in the Bible, but it's as God shines the light upon his character, on his goodness. It's the shining of God's light upon it that it suddenly becomes real to us. And that is the glory of God. And so as they constructed the tabernacle, and they saw something of the mercy of God at the mercy seat, and the character of God displayed in all those different things, whether it was the showbread or the altar of incense or the altar of burnt offering, all these things. But as God shone his light upon it, and the character of God became real to them, that is the glory of God. And so, right from the beginning, God wanted to manifest his glory to his people. I believe in the Garden of Eden, as the Lord walked with them in the cool of the day, there was a manifestation there of his glory. But we think of Israel and how they lost the glory of God as they wandered away. They got into sin and they wandered far from God. And the glory of God was withdrawn from Israel. They went into captivity, the temple destroyed, and this manifestation of God was removed from them. But here, as you come into chapter 60 of Isaiah, and he says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." And this is speaking about the Lord Jesus. It says, "Arise, shine, for thy light has come." Who is the light? That's the Lord Jesus. "And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." And as God manifested himself to Israel, we think of how he manifested himself as they came out of Egypt in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. He manifested his glory there, and he manifested it in these other ways. He manifested his glory at the burning bush, and he kept manifesting his glory in different ways to them. But here, as he speaks to them about manifesting his glory, this final manifestation of his glory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says, "The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So this final manifestation of the glory of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might say, in a sense, well, that's obvious. We know that. That's a theological fact. We understand he's the full expression of the Father, the full expression of God. He's the final word we read of in Hebrews chapter 1. But just as it was such a tangible thing when they experienced the glory of God in the tabernacle, and as they experienced the glory of God in the temple, that is supposed to be our experience today. And it was true as the Lord Jesus walked the earth, and as the Holy Spirit comes in power and manifests himself, that is what we are supposed to experience, an experience of the glory of God on a level with, or perhaps superior to, what they experienced in those days. Because that is the pinnacle of what God can give to us, and it's the great thing that God has intended for us. Isaiah 42, just to continue to expound how this light rising is the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 42 and verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. And there you see it. It seems to be speaking of Israel. But when you come into the New Testament, and in Luke chapter 2, when you have the praise of Simeon, and he says, "Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And so as we see about the light shining, and people have said that this is Israel arising in the end times and shining as a light to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles will somehow be drawn to Israel. But that's not really what it's talking about. There is a measure of truth in that. But the one that is arising is the Lord Jesus Christ. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." But why does it appear to be talking about Israel? And the answer is because Jesus is a Jew. Jesus is a Jew, and the way that Israel is going to arise, and the way Israel is going to shine, is because Jesus comes, and he's a Jew, and he's the fulfillment of Israel. He is the full fulfillment of Israel. And even though God is still working out his purposes in Israel today as a nation, and that's part of God's great plans, and he has not forsaken. There's a temporal covenant with them, a physical covenant, as it were. But the full manifestation of the glory of God, the full manifestation of Israel, in a sense, is Jesus himself. And this Jew who perfectly fulfills the law, who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, who comes in the name of Yahweh, the Son of God. He comes as the fulfillment of Israel to be a light to the Gentiles. And so here we see this glorious thing of the Lord Jesus coming. And so the prophet says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." And so there's something that familiar to us as we read through the Old Testament and the manifestation of the glory and God setting his name with Israel. But then as the Lord Jesus comes and he rises up, and here suddenly is the glory of God, the glory of God displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we know as the Lord Jesus walked this earth, his glory was veiled as he walked this earth, wasn't it, for most of the time. And he was here as a man, he was clothed in flesh. But we see also at the transfiguration, this display of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here was just meant to be a taste of what it was all about to the disciples. And they'd been walking around, they'd been ministering, seeing Christ as a servant. But here he is, and he's manifesting his glory. And here they're seeing something of the reality of Christ and his person. And they see him, and they fall to the ground, and they can't see anything. And then Moses and Elijah are removed, and they see no man save Jesus only. But the Lord is just wanting, in that brief moment, amidst all the ministry, to reveal his glory to them, that they would see that that was what it was all about, that that was what they were aiming at. It wasn't about the ministry. Ministry is important. Serving people, doing the work, that's important. But it wasn't about that. It was about the glory of God. And he said, "I'm just for a moment going to bring you into the fullness of it, something of the fullness, the glory that I have." And we see in John chapter 17, in the what's known as the high priestly prayer, the Lord Jesus, he speaks about to the Father. He starts, "O Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." And he says, verse 5, "Now glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." But then, verse 24, he says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." And so he's saying the whole summit of everything is that they will see my glory in a measure when we get saved, but the fullness in eternity when we go to be with the Lord forever. That's what it's all aiming at. But the great glory of it, really, is that we can have a manifestation of the glory now. And without that manifestation of the glory, this life feels hopeless. And we can get involved in so many different things in the Christian life. We can get involved in the work. We can get involved in a learning of the written word. We can get involved in studying things in a sort of academic way. But you see, the only time when we really get to where God wants us to be, and this isn't a legalistic thing, but the only time we're really in the fully right place is when we see his glory, when we experience his glory. And I believe as we come into the very last days before the Lord returns, that it's more important than ever that we see the glory of God and experience the glory of God, because it's only that that's going to get us through. You see, you cannot be discouraged, you cannot be downhearted, you cannot be depressed and be seeing the glory of God. You see, the glory of God lifts you out of everything. If we were imprisoned for our faith, if we were being tortured, if we were being stoned, seeing the glory of God would lift us out of that. We think about Stephen, and he sees the Lord standing at the right hand of the Father just as he's about to be stoned. He sees that. And as we are perhaps going to go through difficult times, we see it just brewing. We see it coming. It's only seeing the glory of God that will lift us up. That's being seated with him in heavenly places. It lifts up us up into an incredible place. And as we think about how when the glory of God was manifest in the tabernacle and manifest in the temple, it says the priests could not stand to minister. They couldn't do anything. Nothing else mattered. Even the work of God. Even the work of God didn't matter at that time. Because the glory of God was manifest. And they just fell on their faces. And they were just in awe of God. And sometimes in our lives, when we are bogged down with concerns and worries, and what we need to do is to see the glory of God. Because we will suddenly realize that's the only thing that matters. Why does the Lord allow us to go through difficulties in this life? I believe often it's like to push us out of this earthly realm and to bring us into a place where we're beholding his glory. When his glory is manifest to us, that our eyes are opened to see his glory. And so the glory of God is a manifestation of the character of God. And it's supposed to be fresh, it's supposed to be exciting, it's supposed to be just a thing of wonder, it's supposed to be a thing of awe. And as you get into after the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, and you have the Pentecost and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that again was meant to be to bring us into the glory of God. I think of John 16. He says, and verse 13, speaking of the Holy Spirit, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, and he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And the wonderful thing about Pentecost is it is another manifestation of the glory of God. And some people have come into this church and they query the whole idea of whether the gifts of the Spirit are manifest. As we had this morning, a message in a tongue and in interpretation. And just recently we had people come in and they were afraid of it. They were frightened by a message in a tongue. But I believe the reason is because they failed to see or understand about the glory of God. The glory of God comes, that's the manifestation of God amongst his people in an extraordinary and a glorious way. God is not confined to this book, is he? And some people, they say, well, we just love the word of God. But the word of God points you out into something more glorious. And it points all the time to a manifestation of God in his glory. And it's as it were, people want to enclose God and enclose the glory of God in a box. And they want to put it in there. And I've thought about this, and it talks about the light. And at the end of the passage, it speaks very much about God being like the sun. It says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. And so God is like the sun. And it's as if people want to get sunshine and put it into a box and enclose it and keep it. I think sometimes about some of the great movements of God. When God manifests his glory over the years, you think of the William Booth and the Salvation Army. That was a manifestation of God's glory. And he came down in the meetings. Many people were saved. And as he moved upon hearts and they went out to labor and to do humanitarian work and find the down and outs and people in the lowest place, that was a manifestation of the glory of God. But you see, as human beings, we always want to get that glory and put it in a box, and it becomes an institution. It all becomes very organized, and it's in a box, and we want to be able to open it, and there we have our sunshine, and then we close it away and we can put it on the shelf. And you can't do it with God. The same with the denominations, the Pentecostal denominations. The more organized they got, the less reality and the less power and the less the glory of God came. The glory of God came in the Welsh revival. And there you couldn't put it in a box. You couldn't. It was just there. God did it. They just opened themselves up to God. Says Evan Roberts. He just sort of let the meetings go. He didn't control the meetings. They just sort of went. And they say as a consequence, the meetings went God's way. He wasn't trying to enclose it in a box, but God's glory was manifest in those meetings. And then it turned into denominations and a structure, and this is how we're going to do it, and we have to believe this is how the exact way, and we're putting it in a box. And the more over the years, it's more become centralized and organized, and everything is decided. This year they say we're going to plant, 200 churches. Well, how, unless you've had a prophetic word, how do you know we're going to go out with the gospel and we'll see what God has done? You don't see in the book of Acts, right? This year, first year, we're going to plant 200 churches and we're going to see 100,000 people saved. It's the glory of God. And as you move in the things of the glory of God, things are exciting. Things are challenging, but there's always something fresh. And as you read through the back book of Acts, that's how it was. And the glory of God was manifest. You think of when they are released from prison and they cry out to God, and it says how God shook the house in which they were. God was manifesting his glory. He was manifesting his person. And so this is what God always wants to do. And it's a manifestation of the person of the Lord Jesus. Now by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we go in the strength of the Holy Spirit. But it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. This Son of Righteousness, as Malachi, as it says in Malachi, shining out, shining from the mercy seat, as it were, shining out in all his glory. And so this is what society needs more than anything. We need it in our own lives as individuals. We need a manifestation of the glory of God. If we're feeling low, if we're feeling worried, bogged down, miserable, we need to, as it were, burst things open and say, Lord, manifest your glory to me again. Manifest your glory. Show me your glory. Suddenly we'll be lifted up into the heavenlies. But it's what society also needs. It's what society also needs. And the way that God's glory is manifest, because his glory is bound up in the person of his Son, isn't it? And so if we are to bring the glory of God into society, it's through the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do humanitarian things, but that's not the answer, is it? It's the preaching of Jesus Christ, who is the glory of God. And as he's preached faithfully by people walking in righteousness, something incredible happens, which is suddenly the light of God shines upon the character that we're preaching, upon the words that we're preaching about Jesus, and makes them alive. And that is the glory of God. As soon as we speak to someone, we may knock on someone's door and speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are right with God, and we go and speak the words that speak about the Lord Jesus with love, in the right spirit, in the right way, God will shine upon those words, and the glory of God will be manifest in that conversation. And suddenly our hearts are uplifted. I've just had things on my mind this last week, problems and difficulties that were just stressing me. And I know when I'm in a difficult place in my mind, things I'm worried about, when there's pressure put on me, I may not enjoy that time, but I know that's when I'm most fruitful spiritually. That's when I have the conversations, because I know I'm not trusting in myself. I'm just having to rely in my heart upon the Lord. And I was in Tesco at the checkout, and I got the baby. I got Josiah with me. Esther wasn't there with me at the time, and I was at the checkout there, and it was all a bit disorganized as I was trying to cope with shopping, and the shopping was all bundled into the buggy, and I was putting on the conveyor belt and all of this, and I was just explaining and apologizing to the woman behind the checkout that it was all a bit disorganized because I wasn't used to going shopping with a baby. And anyway, she said, "What's his name?" And I said, "Josiah." And great opportunity, obviously, to share about the gospel. And within the pressure that I was feeling under at that time, I just said, have you ever read the Bible? I said, it's a name from the Bible. Have you ever read the Bible? She said, no, I haven't. And I was just unable to engage with her. And we will have these conversations, but we engage with her and share the gospel. And there was another customer there waiting, and she just was really interested in just listening as I shared the gospel with her. And she kept asking questions. And that's a manifestation of the glory of God, isn't it? I was just sharing words that I've known for all my life, pretty much. But as you share it, and you're not trusting in yourself, and you're not, you know, the glory goes to God when you're in a place of weakness, especially. But as I spoke, and then the glory, the light of the glory of God came and shone on this conversation. You know, she didn't profess faith there and then, but you could see that something was happening in her heart. And so as we think about our ministry, it's not for us to bring the glory. But as we do what we know we're faithfully meant to do, proclaim the Lord Jesus, proclaiming Jesus in these meetings, as we really exalt him and worship him, worship the name of Jesus, and we do it in the right spirit, God shines his light on that. And you suddenly, as a congregation, you feel the glory of God, don't you? Suddenly, the Lord has come. And what is it? He's because you're exalting Jesus in the right way, he comes. He comes and shines his light on that and manifests his glory. And so that's what we need to do if we are to see our societies change. And there's so much need for change in society, isn't there? The society around us seems to be getting worse and worse. It's the proclamation of the Lord Jesus, his character, his name, his death upon the cross for us. And as we lift Jesus high in our local town, in our local community, God will shine his glory into that place. He will shine his light upon the words, and his glory will be manifest. Hallelujah. If in any of the stories of revival came as people were exalting the Lord Jesus again, wanting him to be glorified. Whether it was because people had turned away from God and the sin, and people were grieved by that turning to sin and away from God, and wanting Jesus to be glorified again and have his rightful place in society. That was how revival came. And just in concluding, I didn't go in detail as I really wanted to. This should be a long message of an hour, really. And through that passage, as you read it, it talks about other nations being drawn to that light, to the Lord Jesus rising. It talks about through the abundance of the sea. Verse 5, then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. And what's this talking about? It's just talking about people throughout the world being converted to the true Israel, that the whole kingdom of God, really, through the Lord Jesus Christ. These people, it's not talking about everybody, it talks about the abundance of the sea, it's just talking about people scattered throughout the seas of the world. All these people, whether the camels and all these people, it's saying across the world, people will be drawn to the fullness of Israel as manifest in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will turn to him. And it says, and the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. And the kingdom of God will be built up. The sons of strangers. I'm a son of a stranger, son of a Gentile. And we're the ones now building up the kingdom of God, aren't we? This, the fullness of Israel, we are here building it up. And so the Lord Jesus came, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Christ has come. Jesus has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And we should be a people who are full of joy and full of excitement, because this is a message for us. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Lord, we thank you that you have always manifest yourself to your people, and not in some dull way, and not just in the written word, but you manifest yourself in your power, in your reality, in your grace, and you show us yourself, you show us your glory. And we would say once more, show us your glory. Show us that glory, Lord Jesus, that you had from before the foundation of the world that was ever yours. That we might walk in the light of that glory. Great, not needing, as it were, the light of the sun, but to walk in the light of your glory. And we know in heaven forever, in the New Jerusalem, you yourself will be the light of that place, and there will be no need for the sun. And so we pray, even in this world, even at this time, that we would walk in that light. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.